With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom and donate today. Simply go to tntradio.live. It's a conversation we have to have. It's a conversation about the state of the nation. Talk to us now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to State of the Nation. We are live from Central Texas, California, and New York once again here on today's News Talk, TNTRadio.live. Find us on the internet there. We want to hear from you today. So if you want to call in on the TNT open line. The phone numbers are up there on the website. You know we got a great show lined up for you per usual. Let me welcome my co-hosts, CC Woods and John Matlin. CC, welcome to the show. How you doing today?
Good afternoon. How are you, Hesher?
How is
everyone?
Very good.
Everyone.
Yes.
We are
John,
great.
Welcome.
We are great, CC. It's a wonderful day, as always. And we're pushing the weekend, which is always a great time in life where, I said, 48 hours of news, man, Monday. I don't want to look past the weekend, but we know that by Monday, we'll be in a different world. But we have this world to dissect today.
Absolutely. It's amazing how many things go on once we sign off on Fridays. Last week, boy, it seems like we had daily shooter events, all kind of stuff going on. But okay, let's see. Where do you want to start today, John? Let's go to Georgia for a minute here. Let's talk about Brian Kemp. What's going on there?
So Brian Kemp, governor of Georgia, is being clairvoyant. And what I mean by that is he is assuming that this weekend is going to be one hell of a weekend. And we're going to get into 1,000 reasons as to why. We're going to dissect that later. But just know that 1,000 National Guard troops are being called and activated. They'll be deployed to prevent further violence after, you know, the protesters over the past week threw rocks, had the fireworks going, burned police vehicles. So there is a good belief that this weekend it's going to be another weekend of peaceful violence. So be prepared. Again, remember to change your dictionaries, move it forward to where we are now. Leave where you once lived, come to where you are now, where violence is peace. Remember that. And damaged property is not violence. And so they're ready. They're ready, guys, for a very, very active weekend. Do you agree that that's on the docket? Because I surely do.
I do. And I just got off the phone with one of my sources at the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department, and they are on high tactical alert. They are getting ready. They are, and in California, many people may not know this, but the Los Angeles County Sheriff, as in Robert Luna, which you and I had a discussion about last night, Brian.
We had some choice words.
Yes, we did. And so the sheriff of LA County is the only one who can call in the National Guard over everybody in this state. I mean, I think Newsom has some power, but I'm talking about law enforcement. He is the last stop. And you and I had a discussion yesterday about Mr. Luna and what a puppet he was. And apparently, former Sheriff Alex Villanueva and I are thinking on the same page because he said the exact same thing on his Instagram live post yesterday. He called Luna a puppet. And I never thought I'd see the day in this century where Alex and I would be saying the same words on the same day.
Well, now that he's got some extra time on his schedule, he's listening to State of the Nation, and he's starting to realize.
Well, I wouldn't question that, guys. It is interesting that when I say that these violent activities and that they meaning the deep state and people that want to take more rights away, they really enjoy when we are, and by we I mean just the population, when we are violent, because it depending on how they can exploit that political ideology, they get their state of emergencies, in which case this state of emergency with 1,000 troops, National Guard troops, it won't expire until Thursday, February 9th, unless it's renewed. And we know how people in power love to renew things. So once this happens, say, in a non-Republican area, state, if you will, the governor, like Hochul here in New York or Newsom in California, they will continue to renew this. And in that case, it would be for MAGA extremists, ultra MAGA extremists. So you see how they utilize this. And once they go into their motion, that inertia continues and they continue to hold that power and there will be troops on streets. So this is always a way that they can, you know, nudge you in the direction they want as well.
February 9, huh? What a random date. At least it appears random to me, unless they have some sort of intelligence. Maybe the feds that operate and collude and, you know, sort of nudge Antifa into their, you know, their little areas for their mostly peaceful protests. I mean, riots. Maybe that's just the plan. Maybe that's how long this is going to go on. Hard to say, but you got to wonder about that.
It could be Hesher, or they could just extend it to March 3rd of 2033. So therefore, the numbers will all be 33s.
Hey, wow. I would expect no less from this clown world at this point. So rioters damaged at least three businesses over the weekend, throwing bricks, shattering windows. Are they in jail? That's my question. Did these rioters get caught, or are they out and ready for more activities that will keep them occupied until February the 9th?
And the last point of interest before we get a news break from Ruckus, I would like to say that this, of course, we've mentioned this, the six suspects, five of which were out of state, were charged with domestic terrorism. So it looks like they wait till Friday and Saturday to do their work because the people coming in have to have travel arrangements, and they can get whoever is sane enough that is of the working class that will partake in this to come out and join in because they need the numbers. So it seems like it's always planned around that Friday, Saturday. Why not Wednesday?
None of these people have jobs anyways. Most of them were born with a silver spoon, bunch of white kids with millionaire parents, thinking playing revolutionary. What a ridiculous gag this is. Why is it still going on after all these years? Well, because it's politically useful. Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device, or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. By the way, if you miss anything, you can go to that YouTube channel and you can back up the playhead on that. It keeps a buffer. It's pretty cool. So we got you covered on TNT Radio.
The latest news to your smart speaker.
I listen on Alexa.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
A South Dakota state senator who was just unexpectedly suspended by legislature without being given any reason has an interesting theory as to why she was punished. Here with the story, joining us now is TNT Radio news producer Adam Clark. Ruckus, welcome.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. Yeah, so in a rare move, the South Dakota Senate suspended a conservative GOP state senator yesterday, January 26th, while not revealing the allegations against her. Senator Julie Fry Mueller alleged that she's being punished after speaking to a legislative research staffer earlier this week about her views on vaccinations. What? The senator said at a Thursday press conference, quote, "It has come to my attention that the issue may involve a conversation I had with staff where I promoted my well-known stance on medical freedom and the ability of individuals to choose the best course of medical treatment for themselves," end quote. How dare she? Fry Mueller, who has opposed vaccination requirements in schools, said she did not bring up the COVID-19 vaccine during her exchange with the aide. The Republican-controlled Senate ended up voting 27-6 to form a committee to investigate Fry Mueller's conduct and in the meantime suspend her from voting or holding other rights of an elected official. Republican legislative leaders refused to comment Thursday on the allegations that led to them suspending the Senate rules and stripping the colleague of her ability to represent her constituents. Fry Mueller said she has not been formally presented with the allegations against her. Quote, I have a right to defend myself. I know there's an agenda behind this, she said on the Senate floor. I have not seen anything at all that I've supposedly done. The legislator has now been removed from the two committee assignments that she previously sat on, which would be Senate Local Government and Senate Health and Human Services. What do you guys think about this one?
I'm a little baffled, Ruckus. I'm a little bit baffled here. I mean, if this was Illinois, California, New York, you know, something like Arizona, even maybe a red state that's, you know, run by blue people, it would make more sense. But Christy Nome State. This is one of the sanctuary states for medical freedom people. I thought, at least that's the impression I've been given over the past 3 years. So I'm curious if this woman, Julie Fry Mueller, I'm curious if she's correct about her assumption, because maybe there's something else going on here. If she is correct about her assumption, then that begs a whole bunch of questions about the South Dakota Republicans that are sitting there in the state Senate.
It makes you wonder
about a lot of things. Sorry, John.
Yes. No. It just makes you wonder, you know, this is the same thing. You've watched politicians that are against some of the vaccination mandates or all of them, and then they utilize the vote by proxy because of their fear of COVID. So when you want to investigate somebody or you can use a smokescreen for any of it, really.
Yeah, Cece, are you baffled? Are you as baffled as I am?
Why do you think I'm quiet? I'm just like, I'm blown away right now.
I see you sitting there twisting your hair, just looking into space. You look like I feel.
Yes, no, I am. I'm taken by surprise by this. I'm really shocked that this is even going down right now. I mean, there's just so much conflict in terms of COVID, period, anywhere. And it's, you know, the information that's coming out. Oh, and now the FDA is coming out with the suddenly died, doesn't have anything to do with COVID thing. It's like, I mean, from every angle, it's a total cluster. You know what? Very bad word. Okay. It just is. That's why I'm like, this is just one more to add to the list. You know what I mean? And it's basically a lot of stuff that I'm just seeing on an hourly basis in our newsfeed. That's why I'm just, you know, I'm twisting my hair going, what? You know?
Yeah. I'm trying to jump on and find the most recently died that just happened on top of it. I mean, we're watching people utilize COVID for all of these political reasons. Then we're watching the mainstream media ignore things like what Project Veritas just came out and exposed. Don't even talk about it. No coverage whatsoever outside of Tucker Carlson in mainstream land. And then you go on your feed every day, like Cece's saying, and just today there was another death, another football coach. I believe he's 53 or 54. I'm trying to get it, but it's eluding me at the moment. I can't find
Greg
it.
Patrick,
it's
being elusive. That's Greg Patrick out of Arizona, John. Football community grieving the death of former Arizona high school football coach assistant Greg Patrick. He looks very young and very fit.
There was also two more. There was a young football star, 25 years old, and there was a young female soccer player, 14 years old. I saw two more of those. And then right after that, I saw the FDA, suddenly death is not tied to COVID shots. It's like,
yeah, so that was NFL player Jesse Lemonnier. I think you mentioned him yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday.
Yep.
Yeah, but
it goes actor too.
It goes to show, again, yesterday's news cycle was all about, the FDA is going to determine if you should be getting your yearly COVID shot, and that's what they're going to land on, because they've come to the conclusion, people realize you can't get a booster every 4 months, and it's dwindling, so they're trying to get the support behind the yearly one, since they've already got everybody lining up for their flu shot that's still playing that game. So they're going through this whole entire thing, but they're not covering the information that is that is readily available. They're ignoring it. And it just goes to show, and we have a lot more to exploit about the media in this episode. A lot. Oh, I mean, yes. We might as well call this episode the absolute exploitation of garbage mainstream media dribble.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Ruckus, you know, if the South Dakota Republican state senators are really using this as the methodology to punish Julie Fry Miller, you really got to wonder what the plans are in some of these red states, because, you know, I have a bad feeling about Texas and Florida. Kind of was reserving some good hope for South Dakota. So you're going to have to come back, man, and tell us what the update is on this next week, because I really am curious to see where this story falls once it completes breaking.
Yeah, and as you guys have been mentioning on and off already, things do change pretty quickly. That's why they always drop these bombshell revelations, like all of the, like, notice the Pelosi footage just came out, and then we're still waiting for the footage from the other thing. You know,
Memphis. So, yeah. Memphis is supposed to be out today.
I'm sure you guys are going to be talking about that. So I didn't want to, mm-hmm. Steal your thunder on all that. But clearly none of you people here are ever going to be running or allowed to run for Senate in South Dakota. clearly.
Don't challenge me, Ruckus. Do not challenge me. I will move there and run tomorrow.
Well, your problem's going to be Senator Michael Roll. He's the Republican lawmaker who initiated the motion to suspend Fry Mueller based on, quote unquote, serious allegations. So, like you say, let us wait and see what Monday brings us, what that serious allegation is. Maybe she was running an egg smuggling business out of her basement, or selling whole milk to people or something like that.
Yeah, or illegally imported lithium cells, perhaps, or something. Yeah, who knows? Maybe it's something totally different, because if she had done something, egregious, this would be a good excuse to lay out there in the beginning to sort of diffuse it. So maybe she's got a good staffer who came up with this, because she's, who knows? Who knows what? All right. Well, thank you, Ruckus, for that confounding and confusing news out of South Dakota. So we're going to go to a break here in a moment. But before we do that, we'll remind you that TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. So get up on our soapbox and tell us what you think at TNTRadio.live. You can go over there, upload a video, some audio, drop us a note in the soapbox. Help us light that fuse for freedom here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio's Bruce DeTorres.
World peace and economic justice.
It's over. Yeah. The idea that they have the power they used to have, and that they can pick it up now with King Charles' coronation on May 6th,
right,
is actually what they hope everybody will think is happening, but it isn't happening.
Your assertion and conviction and certainty about that inspires me to no end, because anyone who studies reality as you and I do and I do could fairly conclude you can't fight City Hall. These are juggernauts of enslavement, digitally and otherwise. Set us straight about our hope and potential, Liz Dear.
My feeling about what's happening now is in the basic understanding that everything has a beginning, middle, and end. So for my purposes, I have described it as the end of the imperial stage of human existence. We have been there, done that, we got through it, and now we're ready to move on. And it's what's difficult, though, is that there's a lot of the old power structures still have a lot of power to keep the illusion going that they're still in control, but they're not.
Bruce DeTorres on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
This is a message for the parents of young children in the United States. I am Dr. Tess Laurie from the World Council for Health. Please consider the danger of vaccinating your children and babies with the COVID-19 injections. They are not the same as traditional vaccines and are causing significant harm to children around the world. Your children have their whole lives ahead of them. They are not endangered by COVID at all. Please hear us when we say, for your children, it is much safer to wait. Thank you.
Our lines are now open. Call Brian, Cece, and John now. From the U.S. and Canada, call 1-888-201-6425. From the U.K., call 033-0024-1026. And from Australia and New Zealand, call 1-800-670-310. Free speech is alive and well on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back to State of the Nation. This is a conversation that needs to be had, and it's one we have been having here since October the 28th of last year. The Paul Pelosi pieces of the Paul Pelosi attack videos, I should say, have come out today, as well as the 911 call. And I simply have more questions than answers after viewing it all. Still, as we predicted here on the show, highly curated, highly edited, and months late to the scene, to the media scene, comes this video and this audio. So a California court today released surveillance and body cam video of the October 2022 attack on Paul Pelosi. Of course, you know who that is. That's the husband of former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi at their San Francisco home. So the San Francisco County Superior Court made the footage public after Judge Stephen Murphy denied a request 2 days earlier by prosecutors to keep it secret. So this is very interesting. I watched the video, and I want to hear what Cece thought of it. Cece, what did you think of the video when you saw it? You have been one of the most excited people for this video to drop. were all your hopes and dreams fulfilled? I mean, what did you think of this?
Well, I can tell you what I did. First of all, Sherry sent me the link before anybody, and then I alerted you two, like, in a total huff, and promptly called Kent Moyer, our security expert, who I believe is joining us in the second hour. And I said, help me out. What do you think of this? Because, first of all, the initial body cam footage that was released shows the officers walking very casually up to the front door. If the 911 call was an emergency, they would be running and they would be banging on that door and doing whatever they could. It was a very leisurely walk up to the door, a nice soft knock on the door, and Pelosi answers the door with what looks like a cocktail in his hand. Okay, there's a slice of lime in it. Looks like a cocktail, very calm. Yes, does DePape look kind of ridiculous standing there? And does it look really weird? Yeah, it does. It looks strange. But he doesn't seem like, help, I need help. Like, it doesn't appear that way by any means. So that's my initial reaction to that video. Yes, does he have a hammer in his hand? Yes, did he attack Pelosi? Yeah, he's a cuckoo clock. We already know that. But it looks like he was... I don't know. He was not afraid of this guy being there. So he may, even though DePape may have broken in based on some other just now miraculously released Capitol footage that after they stated in multiple articles in mainstream media that the Capitol Police were not really monitoring the house at that time. So I don't know how this showed up, but there's no question that something is amiss here. This is not a random or they look like they knew each other. And, you know, you don't answer the door if you've got somebody ready to attack you when you've got two policemen standing there with guns that are ready to take the guy out if they need to. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Very strange. Very strange. Okay. So, John, in the video, as Cece pointed out, the cops arrive in a very sort of like a hey, why'd you call us sort of thing. You know what I mean? They were calm. There was only two of them. There was no backup. They were just talking, you know, lightly on the way to the door. Knock on the door. Door opens. There's Paul Pelosi in a shirt and what looked like, I don't know, boxer briefs. So there's the underwear part we've been so curious about, because we were told DePape was in his underwear too. That all falls apart. That whole part of the story fell apart here. And the cops are like, is everything okay here? And Paul Pelosi has basically one hand on the hammer head as DePape is holding the handle to the hammer. And there's just sort of a minor back, a little bit of a tug of war, but not really. And then the cops, then DePape like pulls the hammer away, and he does brutally hit Pelosi on the head. It's hard to tell how many times he got hit there, but I mean, the cops sprung into action and they subdued DePape almost immediately. And it's a little, folks, it's not, if you're sensitive, you might not want to watch it because you'll see Paul Pelosi hit the floor. I don't know if there's an animal in the room or if that's just the sounds of him having been, you know, knocked out, bludgeoned. But it's a little bit freaky to listen to whatever the audio is there as Pelosi is, you know, motionless on the ground and DePape is being hooked up. He's being, you know, stuffed and cuffed.
All right. So I've taken in now that footage. I've taken in the footage that has been released by the Capitol Police. I've taken in the 911 call. Before we dissect this, what audio clips do we have prepared so we can dissect in kind of like right after we hear it? Do we have the 911 call available?
I do have the 911 call. Unfortunately, mono, so it's only going to come through one speaker in everybody's headphones. Maybe the studio can fix that.
Still worth it.
It's worth it. I didn't know it was released. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's very interesting, and it begs even more questions, as does the video footage, like John was intimating, of DePape outside the house. He showed up, you know, they told us, he showed up in his underwear with a backpack.
We will take a headline before we actually play. But I do want to say my opinion has slightly altered, and I'm just really angry about a lot of different things involved with this. But I will let everyone hear the 911 call first, and then we will definitely go through this. And of course, if you have anything to add to this, please do call, because we'll have a great conversation one way or another. We all need to have this conversation. But here is a quick headline from TNT Radio.
Deadline. TNT Radio News.
Big news.
Yeah!
This is James O'Neill with a check of today's headlines. Gaza militants fired rockets and Israel carried out airstrikes as tensions soared following an Israeli raid in the occupied West Bank that killed 9 Palestinians, including at least 7 militants and the 61-year-old woman. NASA marked the 20th anniversary of the Space Shuttle Columbia tragedy with somber ceremonies during its annual tribute to fallen astronauts Thursday. Ukrainian refugees displaced from their war-torn homeland have said that they feel scared in England as there are too many Muslims.
Why not give TNT Radio a follow? We're on all major social platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Gab, and Getter. Help us get the word out as we cover the biggest topics of our time right here on today's News Talk.
TNT Radio.
TNT Radio.
State of the Nation right here on TNT Radio. We're back. You got Brian McLean. You got John Matlin. You got CC Woods here. Now, let's play it. Let's play this 911 call. And folks, we really do want to hear from you on this because we do not have the answers here. We've watched this story change. This is probably the fifth time we have had to address changes in the narrative. So they are sealing it up now. They're making it court ready and doing whatever they are doing to the public right now with all of this. So here is the alleged 911 call that has been released.
San Francisco Police, 74.
2022. Oh, I guess I called my mistake. What is this?
18 seconds. This is San Francisco Police. Do you need help?
Oh, well, there's a gentleman here just waiting for my wife to come back. Nancy Pelosi.
2:23 and
he's just waiting for her to come back because she's not going to be here for a day, so I guess we'll have to wait.
Okay, do you need police, fire, or medical for anything? 8 seconds.
I don't think so. I don't think so.
0:23 and
58
seconds.
Is the Capitol Police around?
2:20. No, this is San Francisco.
They protect my wife. They're usually here at the house protecting my wife.
No, this is San Francisco Police. Friday, October.
I I understand.
8/2022.
Okay, well.
0:24 and 18 seconds.
Okay, good. He thinks everything's good. I've got a problem, but he thinks everything's good.
Okay. Call us back if you change your mind.
No. This gentleman just came into the house, and he wants to wait here for my wife to come home. And so, anyway, he's on the phone.
Do you know who the person is?
No, I don't know who he is. He's telling me not to do anything.
What is your address, sir? What is your name?
My name is Paul Pelosi.
Friday.
Anyway, this gentleman says that he thinks everything ought to, he told me to put the phone down and just do what he said. 18 seconds. Okay?
Okay, what's the gentleman's name?
I don't know. What's that?
My name's David.
The name is David.
Okay, and who is David?
I don't know. What's that?
I'm a friend of theirs.
Yeah, he says he's a friend, but...
But you don't know who he is?
No, ma'am.
8 seconds.
Okay.
He's telling me I'm being very leading, so I got to stop talking to you, okay?
25 and
okay. You sure I can stay on the phone with you just to make sure everything's okay?
No, he wants me to get the hell off the phone.
0, 2, 20, okay. 6, okay. And 0, 8.
Thank you.
Seconds.
Okay, bye.
Can you make sense of this for me, anyone?
Johnny, please.
Anyone
jump in, Johnny.
In.
I can. I can. I can.
John,
and I really can. I could do it 1,000 times over. So first off, we watched all these months go by and we were told that we were hateful and we support people getting bludgeoned and all of this bull crap for asking for the video, which I said... The video would set everything straight. And specifically when journalists are putting out stories that were on scene essentially and had intel coming from the scene from police and about multiple people in underwears and what the glass being broken, no one knew anything and everything changed around. So obviously the people that ask questions when it's kind of a normally executed story in the media are really going to have questions now. And they did not release that footage until they were forced to, which happens to be today. Now, let's go back and say, why the hell, if this was not altered in any type of way, was this not released immediately? Is it because Paul Pelosi was in his underwear holding a cocktail, what at least looked like a cocktail in his hand? Very bizarre. But then all of a sudden we have the Capitol Police cameras that were not functioning are now functioning same time. They just happened to, oops, they function. They did it again. So now you go, well, why are they functioning now? In a day of deep fakes and a lot of time to clean things up and that type of conspiratorial thinking that we and many people that can critically think tend to start leaning to, because again, they didn't put this footage out. That's where it starts to go. So you have your questions about that. The 911 call, I got my hands on and sent it to Hesher probably 10 minutes before we came on. I was like, we need this to go out because these things are leaking out throughout the day. Now, this is the best part about the 911 call. It is the most clarity in this whole entire freaking case. And what I mean by that is if I was the person receiving that call, I would immediately understand that who is talking to me, even if he somehow knows this person, is trying to convey, holy crap, I am in distress and I'm trying not to trigger this EDP further. Whether they knew each other beforehand or not, I think the biggest thing here that they didn't want to get out was that it was not an ultra MAGA person that did this. But in their attempt to convey that it is the ultra MAGA movement that created this and made it happen, they covered it up at the cost of the fact that Paul was sitting there. Go, if somebody is telling you guys, Cece, if I'm on the phone with you and you're like, John, is everything okay? And I'm like, well, he's telling me I have to get the hell off the phone right now. I would assume that you would call Hesher and Hesher would deploy in a freaking chopper with a pistol braced semi-automatic to save my arse.
I totally agree with you, which is why listening to that 911 call, you can tell as time goes on that there is a certain type of confusion and potential distress in his voice, but he didn't even realize that he was calling 911. He said, "Who is this?" You know, when that is the first thing that I said, this is crazy. And if DePap was really there, broken in there to stay there looking for Nancy, why would he stand there and allow him to pick up the phone to call anyone, right? And here's another thing, the break-in part, the break-in of the glass. How does that not deploy whoever is supposed to be security on that property? How does a giant crack in a window of the Speaker of the House not have guys with machine guns, AR-15s, ready to pounce on whoever tried to break into the Speaker's house?
I have your answer. When they said that the cameras did not work, what they meant to say is, we are a steaming pile of crap at the Capitol Police. We literally weren't watching the cameras. Again, I go to the Homer Simpson drinking bird. They put the drinking bird that
right
just kept hitting.
It's right before midterms. How do you not watch a house like that?
There's no answer. These things have motion detectors. Things have to go off. They just dropped the ball, and they don't want to expose that they are leaving the elected officials half unguarded in our country. That is what they're like, oh, my God, a nudist, a crackhead nudist from Canada that's not even supposed to be here, literally just walked up with a backpack and was just like, I'm just going to go into the Speaker of the House. I'm going to go into their home. And they dropped the ball. Everybody in this dropped the ball. And yeah, there's so much
Hold
in
on.
It. But when you go, yeah, go.
I'm not buying that, Johnny. I'm not buying it. And I'll tell you why. Because there is still a home security system. And Kent Moyer is going to come in here and he's going to clean it up next hour. Because I'm telling you, even if the Capitol Police effed up, okay, even if they did, there is a home security system. I am 1,000,000% positive that right there, when the glass is broken, security is breached, that deploys the local police department or whoever, but it does deploy somebody, because there has, even if nobody's home, the security system is there for a reason, and there's no way they don't have private home security. No way.
Here's one thought. I can't prove this.
I'm sorry to be so heated.
It's speculation.
I expected it to be this way.
But if the Capitol Police are used to the way that Paul Pelosi rolls, right?
True.
If he's coming home at 2 a.m, wasted, with a cocktail in hand, driving around with drugs in his car, getting in car accidents, hurting people, letting people flee the scene from car accidents, it's very possible that the Capitol Police do have that Homer Simpson bird watching that stuff, because they know, well, we can't do anything about this guy. He's probably just partying with his friends from the Tenderloin.
I totally agree.
I would not be surprised if they were like, oh, it's just another Tuesday night at the Pelosi house while Nancy's away.
I totally agree. But you have to explain away the broken glass and the private home security system. Anytime somebody breaks into a home, that's what I'm saying. He probably had it off. I think we talked about this with Kent. He probably turned it off when he got in there. But still, I just.
The guy appears to be a wastoid. So it's possible that he turned it off when he came home and that nothing happened. But I mean, if that footage, the security footage, is legit, and I don't think it is personally, I think that the security footage is likely a deep fake. I think that 911 call could be fake too. I am completely skeptical about all of the media that we get for these kind of cases when they come out months later.
And you should
be. So, you know, all bets are off as far as I'm concerned. But if there was even the most pedestrian suburban security system, usually has glass break sensors on it, or door opening sensors. That door didn't open. DePap, if that video is legit, He broke out the window, and then he did open the door, I believe. I'll have to watch it again, but it looked like he might have crawled in, or maybe he crawled in just enough to unlock it and open it. I'll have to watch that again. But still, if there was even a standard ADT alarm there, it should have gone off. And we didn't hear any of that. We didn't hear the alarm going off on the 911 call. He wasn't acting as though his house had been broken into, unless this was all, you know, subtle coded messages that, you know, one drunk guy was giving 911 while another drunk guy stood there with a hammer. How that all happened, I'm guessing we're never going to find out.
Yeah. In best case scenario, there was something somewhere in the line of this whole process that was completely ruined. They didn't do it right. It was a complete lack in security. Something was dropped and they tried to cover it up. That's the best case scenario. And that's if all the video is in fact untouched. But again, I don't know why they would attempt to do a cover up in such a highly publicized situation for someone that was at the time the third in line for the presidency of the United States of America. So the questions were going to be asked. The body footage comes out. People want the truth. We're going to see that with the body camera footage that's coming out in this most recent death that we've been talking about with the police and everything. So why would they not really release it? So again, when that 911 call, if it is 100% accurate, it was like the way I was taking it was he was like, if I trigger this guy a little bit too much, maybe he knows him. Maybe they went to the same clubs. Maybe not. Who knows exactly at this point for definitive reasons? We don't. But in that call, he was trying to infer 100% if the call was legit from I guess we're just going to have to wait here for a week. He was saying, yo, help me. And the person's like, what do you mean? We're not the Capitol Police. Did the name Nancy Pelosi not ring a bell to the 911 dispatch in San Francisco? It's so awkward.
Agreed.
It really is.
Agreed.
I mean, it just more questions, and I'm not surprised that that's the case. And will we ever hear DePap's side of the story? No, we're never going to hear a single word from him again. Just like every highly politicized daily shooter, all these people, you'll never, ever, ever hear their side of the story. Much like the 19 people that were allegedly shot and injured and survived in Uvalde. Have we ever heard a single story from any of them? No. What about all the cops? Guess what? They have an entirely new police force there. Every single cop that was part of that is now gone. Where are they? Why do we never hear anything from all these people that were there at these huge events asking for the nation on State of the Nation? All right, we're going to take a break here with today's news talk, and we'll be right back.
Saving the planet is for extraterrestrials from the World Economic Forum? That's what John Kerry just said.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano.
U.S. climate envoy John Kerry raised eyebrows when he compared himself to an extraterrestrial at the World Economic Forum in Davos.
And when you stop and think about it, it's pretty extraordinary that we, select group of human beings, because of whatever touched us at some point in our lives, are able to sit in a room and come together and actually talk about saving the planet. I mean, it's so almost extraterrestrial to think about, quote, saving the planet. And if you said that to most people, they think you're just a crazy tree-hugging, lefty, liberal, you know, do-gooder, whatever.
They are the elites, the chosen one. And I offer you this. The Roswell, New Mexico incident of extraterrestrial activity happened in July 1947, and almost 9 months later to the date exactly, in March 1948, Al Gore was born. I'm just saying. This is Mark Morano for the Morano Minute on TNT Radio. Thank you.
You have the right to know. The right to know about culture. The right to know about the economy. The right to know about technology and to know about sports. You have the right to know about education and politics and the weather. You have the right to know what's happening abroad and in your backyard. But above all else, you have the right to know that this right is under attack. and we must work to protect it. Because in order to be free, we must be informed. Understand the threats. ProtectPressFreedom.org.
Interviews, news, and views. You're listening to State of the Nation with Brian McClain, John Matland, and CC Woods on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Okay, welcome back to State of the Nation, TNTRadio.live. Head on over to the website for the phone numbers if you want to call in and give us your thoughts on any of the breaking news going on today. Speaking of breaking news here, CeCe is about to swoon because McCarthy sets up votes to dismantle Biden's COVID emergency using Biden's own words. The pandemic is over. So House Republicans will hold a series of votes next week aimed at dismantling the COVID emergency that was originally declared by the Trump administration, but has been extended for nearly 3 years. They told us 2 weeks. Do you remember that, folks? Do you remember the 2 week claims? 2 weeks to stop the spread, all that good stuff. So 3 year extension here, pretty much under the Biden administration. The House Rules Committee, which takes direction from House Speaker Kevin McCarthy on scheduling of legislation, will meet on Monday to set up floor votes on 4 pieces of legislation that would eliminate the emergencies that have been maintained by the Biden administration, even though President Biden himself said last year, quote unquote, the pandemic is over. So there you, CeCe, are you excited to hear this one?
I mean, my crush is continuously crushing it. I'm just saying, McCarthy is a baller, period. End of story. He just keeps throwing them out there. 1, 2, 3, win, 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 win. So that's all I got to say. Thank God. Look at Newsom. Newsom, I think he still extended our state of emergency through February or something like that. So finally, a boss gets in there and said, out, 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 out. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. I love watching it. It makes me very happy.
Yeah. All right, John, do you think this is going to happen? Because I don't think it's going to happen personally.
It is not going to happen. However, it is going in the right direction. But as all legal matters and all political matters, this is going to be drawn out. It's going to result in, as long as elections become more secure, the exit of many people, along with the time variable pissing people off. And what I mean about that is, we've had Joe Biden say, "Oh, the pandemic's over. Look around." In September. That was in September. We have lawsuits that were filed about that do exist. However, we had the Senate vote to end a bunch of different regulations for emergency powers. The House is obviously going to vote that, and then Biden will veto it. And then it gets kicked back, and they still need 2/3 of each chamber. So that will not happen in the Senate, and thus we will live under this ridiculous, for lack of better words, shit show. It is exactly what will go on. It will be rinse and repeat. And the battle will keep going in the correct direction. It's only a matter of time. Things are falling apart in real time when it comes to these shots. What we watched come out in Project Veritas, which we haven't really took a deep dive into on this program, it is astronomical. And again, they did not cover it. We have not really watched it. But the fact that there's somebody that's one of the heads of research and development saying that they are actually making variants so they can make vaccines for the variants, it is something that everybody needs to know and needs to be discussing. And it's going to keep going. But people are not taking the shots. People are becoming aware. So this will continue to trend in the right direction, but these people like the Newsoms, like Biden, like Hochul, these leftists that don't have a finger on the pulse, or in Biden's case, I don't know if he actually has a pulse or if he's just reanimated corpse, but this is what we're dealing with, and we're in slow motion quicksand, and we can't let our pedal off the metal at all.
Yeah, I didn't see anything in here about what, you know, these four acts that they're talking about. I didn't see anything about striking the emergency use authorization. I didn't see anything about the CARES Act. You know what I mean? I did not see anything attacking the actual pillars of power that are being used against the people of the country. But I do like the language I'm seeing here. Here's a quote. No American should ever be forced to choose between the COVID shot or losing their livelihood. That was stated by Representative Duncan, I believe, who went on to say, Joe Biden's vaccine mandate is unscientific, un-American, and deeply damaging to healthcare workers as we already face a nationwide staff shortage. Gee, John, you're not at work. Why the staff shortage?
Well, allow me to jump in on that one. So in every other state that I know of, at least, because I do have a very big focus on my state when it comes to this, they were forced to still accept religious exemptions. They were trying to take that away like New York did. New York on a state level. So you have to break this down. What's federal and state, for those that don't know, what is a Schedule One drug, marijuana, you can buy in the deli in New York. You can buy in the deli down the block from CC. So there is a difference between state law and federal law, what's going to be enforced, what's not. So my ridiculous state, which resides in the communist states of the United States, is the removal of that religious exemption. And when they tried to do that federally, they were like, nope, no way. So the battle here is still ongoing. It's going to take a little bit. They kind of won. Now they're appealing. There's this flip-flop back and forth. I wrote a very damning letter to many mainstream media outlets as well, to the health system I used to work for, and I got the same thing back. They were very strategic about how they worded it when they actually responded. They only responded because they understand that I am in the media. I do go on other shows as well throughout all different networks, and I take the bullhorn and I start yelling from the rooftops about this crap. So I put them in a place that they had to respond, and they did what they did. They played their chess piece. So what they said is, anybody can reapply to this hospital, to this health system. They can supply their religious exemption, and that will be reviewed, which of course would be denied, and then they would cite state law. In my case, there was a total restraining order at that time on that rule that said there was no such thing as a religious exemption, and they still deemed me an undue hardship for all the reasons that are scientifically have been disproven. But this is the case here. There's so much going on. It takes a long time. It's designed to take a long time. This battle is far from over, and they're trying to wait out any form of resistance so you can get your yearly shot of heart inflammation.
Yeah, this is going to be a political tug of war. We're going to be seeing this for a long time, I think. This is my prediction. We're going to see a lot of pull from both sides. And you'll see the conservative side leading the charge for, you know, what makes sense to people similar to us and our audience. But as it says in this article here, all four bills are expected to pass the GOP-led House, but then face significant opposition from the Democrat-led Senate. This stuff, all four of these will pass the House, and probably none of them will pass the Senate. And if one of them does, it's going to be altered a lot, and then it's going to get to Biden, and it's going to get vetoed. The situation that we're going to be in for a long time, and it's going to make for a lot of good political power politics push and pull for these people, Cece.
Yes, but I'm liking the power, the power that McCarthy is pushing now that he's Speaker of the House. I mean, it's a very powerful position, and I think he's using the position very well so far. And I like the language. I like what's getting out there. I like that it's being reported on. I like that people are hearing these words come out of Washington, D.C., because the GOP has been very quiet for a very long time. Now they're out of the gates, and now they're getting louder and louder and louder. And at least common sense is coming out of what they're speaking, right? So I'm optimistic. I know the Senate is going to crush everything they get in their path, but Biden he's circling the drain so fast right now, so fast. So it's going to be interesting to see how tides turn, because already CNN, in one of the other stories we're going to discuss, they're already openly turning on Biden. I mean, they're circling the drain as well. They're probably trying to get back in the game. But, it's going to be very interesting going forward. It just is daily. It's you know, jaw-dropping.
Yeah, and when we do get to that story in the second hour, it's just as we said. It's exactly as we've predicted with this whole document gate, garage gate, whatever you want to call this, the classified document fire sale. It is clearly serving the exact purpose that we identified, which is the Biden administration, the Biden crime family is about to be recycled by the deep state. That's what we're looking at here. We're looking at a shutdown, a close to this chapter. But is the chapter really closed, or was this just a continuation of the Obama chapter, the deep state chapter, right here in the United States of America? So that is going to be fun to get into, you guys. I'm looking forward to that. We've got news on Epstein coming up. Well, actually, it's an old clip we dug up that's really important with regards to that as he becomes a topic again on Fox News. And what else do we got? Oh, we got more stuff. We got lots of stuff to cover for you. So stick with us. I will be back on the other side of a break with TNT here with CC Woods and John Matlin for more State of the Nation on TNT Radio.